In the gospel reading, our Lord's disciples come to him and ask that he would teach them to pray. And he teaches them the Our Father, a prayer that we pray so very frequently, and yet we really have to ask ourselves, do we ever pay attention? Do we really stop to think about what it is that prayer is praying? In the seven little phrases in the Our Father, absolutely everything possible is contained. It's an absolutely perfect prayer, which makes sense. It came from the Lord. But we don't tend even to stop to think. We just crank it off like it doesn't really mean much. We need to think about that. Because our Lord, as he goes on to kind of explain to his apostles the situation with prayer, first he talks about the necessity for perseverance. Using that example that somebody comes asking for bread, the guy doesn't want to get up, but he says, but by his persistence. So in other words, we're not necessarily going to get what we want just because we snapped our finger and told God to give us what we want. We need to keep praying. Part of the reason for that is that what prayer is all about is conforming ourselves to God. For many people, prayer has literally degenerated into give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Or I want, I want, I want, I want. That's not what prayer is all about. Yes, we can certainly petition the Lord and ask for things. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. We heard that. But it's not just about that. It's about becoming the person we were created to be. That is, we're made in the image and likeness of God, and prayer conforms us more perfectly to God. That's what it's all about. And so when we start with the Our Father and we pray, hallowed be thy name, it is to keep God and his holy name, obviously, as what is most important, to maintain the holiness of the name of God. Our society has completely lost that. We use God's name in every vile way that you can think of, and nobody even bats an eyelash. Do you really think that God's going to be paying a whole lot of attention to the rest of your prayer? Think about that. If somebody, well, let's just say, if one of your kids, every time your kid was surprised, every time your kid got angry, every time something happened to your kid, they use your name. You think you're going to be saying, what a great thing. I love it when you use my name that way. And I'm going to listen to anything you say because you just used my name in ways that are disgusting and gross and frustrating and angry and everything else. No, we're pulling ourselves away from God. And then we turn around and we say, hallowed be thy name. And then we get upset because God doesn't give us what we want. It's like, are we even paying attention to the very first point in the prayer, let alone any of the rest of it? So if this is about conforming ourselves to God, it has to start with saying, what is holy is holy. But you see, this is where we run into trouble in our society, because we have decided that words mean whatever we want them to mean, because we live in a relativistic society. So God is truth, God is love, God is merciful, God is holy. What does all that mean? Well, relativism says you can have your truth and I can have mine. We can have two entirely different ideas what the truth is. You can say that the vestment that I'm wearing right now is red. And I can say, well, no, it's green. But our society says, you're both right. Like, really? No, the truth is objective and the truth cannot change. And just because we live in the 21st century and we think that we're so great, the truth hasn't changed. But we keep trying to make it change. And so now we have equivocated opinion with truth. If it's my opinion, therefore it's my truth. My opinion may not be right. The truth is always correct. So we start with that point. We recognize, even on something so blatantly obvious, how we've twisted that. And then we look at it and say, God is love. There's another word that we have completely butchered. Because we've made anything into love, and therefore we've got this idea that because there is love, that therefore I can do whatever I want. We can't. Think about what we talk about. Throughout history, people have recognized that there are different kinds of love. The Greeks have four different words for love. In Latin, there are three. In English, there's one. Consequently, we've missed the boat. So we say, for instance, I love my children, and I love ice cream cones. Do you love ice cream cones the same way you love your kids? Obviously not. Do you love your spouse the same way you love your kids? No. Do you love your friends the same way you love your spouse? No. There are differing kinds of love. But in English, we only have one word, and we try to think somehow that it makes it all equal. We look at the first reading, and I'm appalled at what's going on in our society. That we say it's okay for two men or two women to get married and do all these things because they love each other. Give me a break. But as happens every single time this reading comes up, you can expect it like clockwork. There was an article that came out, written by a Jesuit priest, of course, saying that Sodom and Gomorrah had nothing to do with the sin that to this day continues to be named after the city and what they did. No, it was a lack of hospitality. That was the sin of Sodom, a lack of hospitality. It wasn't about this filth that they were practicing. It wasn't about the degradation of humanity. Because you see, if it was about the lack of hospitality, then what we're going to do is turn around and say, so therefore what they were doing physically was perfectly okay, because they loved one another. No, they didn't. All we need to do is look at it with the stereotypical one throughout history. If you really loved me, you would do this for me. No. First of all, if I loved you, I wouldn't ask you to do something that's sinful. I wouldn't ask you to do something that's going to violate your dignity. And number two, if you love me, you're going to tell me, no, I will not do that because it's wrong. It's going to offend God. It's a sin against your dignity. No, I'm not going to do that because I love you too much to do something that's wrong. You see, we've twisted it all backwards. And all of a sudden, things that have absolutely nothing to do with love, because selfishness is the opposite of love, and we're going to say that if I'm going to be selfish, that that's what love is. No, it's not. And then we look at mercy. God is merciful, so that means God doesn't really care if I sin. God loves me anyway. And he's merciful, so he's just going to forgive me. God is merciful and God is loving. But what does that mean? To love somebody means to do what's the very best for them. Not to do what they want necessarily, to do what's the best. To sin against someone or to sin with someone is never, ever the best. It cannot be. It violates the person. So sometimes doing what's best is very difficult. Sometimes what's best is to say no. Every parent knows that. Think about what happens every Christmas when your kids come and say, here's what I want for Christmas. As a parent, you say, well, I love my kid, so I have to give him everything that he wants. Now you're going to say, no. We're not going to be doing all that. Just because the kid wants it doesn't mean it's the loving thing to give it to them. Well, take it outside of the kids. It's the same thing. If we truly love somebody, we aren't going to ask them for something or do something to them that would be wrong. Love builds up the other person, not tears them down. So we look at the mercy of God and we pray for the forgiveness of our sin. And yes, God is merciful. Yes, he will forgive us. However, there needs to be repentance on our part. If we just simply go ahead and sin and we say, well, God's merciful, so he's going to forgive me, that's another sin called presumption. And it's a mortal sin, presuming on God's mercy. Repentance means that I intend to change my life, that I don't want to fall into this sin anymore. Yes, we're weak. We probably will fall. That's not the point. The point is that we don't want to and we're going to do our best not to. That's the repentance, that we're going to try to turn around. But you see, we just look at and say, well, God is merciful, so therefore my sins will just automatically be forgiven. And he doesn't really care if I sin, because after all, because God is merciful and God is loving, we're all going to heaven anyway. Nowhere do you read that in Scripture. But it's a whole lot easier to believe than the truth, because my sins could land me in hell. Oh no, God is merciful and he's loving. He would never do that. It's not God doing it, it's we who are doing it. So we need to be able to look at this realistically and honestly. Because we keep playing these games with the language to try and change the truth. But God doesn't change because he cannot change. He's perfect. So the change has to happen in us. That is, we have to be more and more conformed to God because he's calling us to be perfect. Isn't that what Jesus said? Be perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect. That is more and more perfect conformity to the Lord. So it has to start by changing what we're even thinking and saying so that it conforms to the truth. Then, when we are conformed to the Lord, ask for whatever you want and it will be given. But in the meantime, he doesn't just automatically give it, because it's not always the best at the time. And we look at it and say, but I'm asking for something really good. Why wouldn't he do this? Part of it, again, as we saw about that point of the perseverance in prayer that Jesus made, why? Because maybe each time we're just, to the tiniest little degree at least, being changed, being conformed to God. So maybe over time, little by little by little, we become more conformed to the will of God. But there's also this point, and again, any parent would recognize it. Your kids want certain things that aren't bad. And when they're a little older, it would be perfectly fine, but at this age, you'd be a fool to give that to your kid. They're going to get hurt or worse. And so you look at it and say, well, what they're asking for is fine, but not at this age. Maybe in a few years I will give that to them. So God can do the same thing with us. It's like what you're asking for is perfectly good and fine, but not yet. You're not ready for it yet. So let's trust him. Because we get frustrated when we ask for something and, you know, again, I snapped my finger and I told God what to do. And by golly, he didn't do what I wanted when I wanted it. So we need to learn to be patient. We need to learn to trust. We have to be conformed to the Lord. And that conformity has to start with the truth and with charity, with morality, with all these things that we've talked about. What is mercy? What is love? What is truth? Because all of those are synonymous with God. So we have changed what everything means, and therefore we try to say that God therefore is changed. God doesn't change because God can't change. So let's change back, because the truth is still the truth. Charity is still charity. Mercy is still mercy. We just need to get ourselves aligned properly with God. Get ourselves back, because this is who we're created to be. And we're going to find the freedom that God wants for us only when we're conformed to his will. And that's what prayer is all about. So even if you just simply look at that first point of the Our Father, you could pray about that literally for hours. Hallowed be thy name. What does that really mean? God is holy and I'm made in his image and likeness. What does that mean for me? How am I supposed to live this? What's that supposed to look like? If I'm going to hold God's name holy, what would that look like in my life? See, these are the kinds of things that we blow right over and don't even ponder as we pray that beautiful prayer. And that's just the first word. So, something for us to think about. The Lord is telling us to pray. He taught us how to pray. He gave us a perfect prayer that literally encompasses everything that we could possibly pray for. It's all there. If we will immerse ourselves in it and conform ourselves to it, so that we will become the persons that God created us to be.